And again, I want to put a disclaimer on this so that we don't get caught up in it. When we first started this, I said, I am not here to glorify Satan, but I am here to expose him. Amen. The idea is to expose him. Because one of his greatest feats, one of his most powerful, effective work, is when he makes you ignore him. Or don't even believe in him. You don't even pay attention to him. Oh, he just, he's been beaten. God disarmed him. He's all... Again, I don't glorify him, but I'll tell you, he's a dangerous foe. And his sole purpose is to get you turned away from what God is trying to show you to what God wants to do with you and in you and through you. Amen? So how does he go about doing these things? One of the ways, and God gave me this when I was standing there because I didn't have it on my notes. He said, do you remember, it says in Mark 4 when he's talking about the sowing of the seed being the word of God. The first one was the wayside. He said when the seed is sown on the wayside, it says that Satan, because of lack of understanding, Satan can go right into the heart and steal the seed being sown. So that which God is trying to produce in you is not produced. So a lot of us say, well, I thought that this is what it said, but you never had that fruit of the word, the seed of the word taking root, where out of that ground of the good heart, all of a sudden great things start to grow. And that's what happens. Because we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the word. And we go out of here, and it happens many times. I'll say to someone, well, what did we talk about today? Well, give me a hint. I remember. I can't remember. That was 5 minutes since we just finished the service. Know this. The enemy is there to distract you from hearing what God's got to say so that the word can take root in your heart and produce a fruit that'll bring great glory to God and bring blessings to you and to others. Because this is not just about you. This is about other people. You understand that? If you don't grow and there isn't good fruit coming out of your life, you cannot be an effective source for God to use to bless other people. It's easy to open your wallet at times and give a dollar. But to go out of your way and out of your effort of, yeah, I got to get this done, but I know God told me to go over and be a blessing somehow to someone else, give somebody a ride on a Sunday morning, or go over there and help them clean their house, or whatever it is God has for you. That won't happen because it only comes out of the fruit that was born from the seed sown into the heart. And the enemy is snatching that seed right out of the heart because people don't understand exactly what's going on. And so we want to have understanding this morning. Lord, give us understanding. Not just we're doing a church service. This is more than that. This is about fighting a good fight of faith, winning the victory, having the battle over with so you can get on with the rest of your life. There are people been fighting the same battle over and over and over and over, and they finally are getting frustrated, giving up. They just say, well, I might as well sit home because there's nothing changing. It's not changing because you have an enemy who is suppressing the word of God in your life and they're trying to stop you from walking in the spirit of God. The other day, I want to share with you, I think at the end of this series, I was sleeping and God had started waking me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was 5, now it's 4. And for 3 or 4 nights in a row, I'm waking up at 4 o'clock and I'm going, what in the world's going on? Then at one night, a couple nights ago, all of a sudden I woke up at 4 o'clock, and just as I didn't know it was 4 at the time because I didn't look at the clock. But I woke up and God started downloading stuff on me. And he showed me something in it. And he said, you know that when Jesus walked this earth, when he instructed the people, he instructed them with the knowledge that they had of the day. In other words, he talked about soldiers, Roman soldiers. They knew about Roman soldiers. They talked about farming and sowing seeds and so on because they knew about farming. And so he said, I'm using the same way talking to you. Now, we live in a different society. So he showed me something, and I'm sitting there going, wow, look at this. And I started going through it. And he just downloaded stuff. It's just amazing how he showed me how to receive out of heaven. Listen, you're not going to receive a new house drop on your head from heaven. This is not the wicked witch of the West. How he's going to do is download you wisdom, how to do the things you need to do to see the fruit of his word come to pass in your life. And when you start operating in that on a consistent basis, not on just a one day a week or just sometimes, yeah, we'll try it, see if it works. It didn't work, so I'm not going to do it. Know this, you have an enemy who wants to stop you from succeeding by using the word of God. God, he doesn't care if you succeed without God. Matter of fact, he has a whole army of ministers out there who are succeeding in this worldly system without God. They're the ones you see on TV, in the movies. You see them on in the governments. You see them all over the place. These people are succeeding all over the place. Even people, praise God, even people who are on welfare, and they seem to be living a better life than the ones who are working two jobs. Really, this is the way of the enemy. And also, you know, praise God, I'll leave that for a minute. So what we want to do is say, okay, Lord, when you saved me, the Bible says he took you out of darkness into the light. You were a slave to unrighteousness. Now you're a slave to righteousness. That means you were a servant of the dark side. You left that, and you now became a servant to the light side. You were a servant to sin. Now you're a servant to righteousness. You're a servant to a mighty, mighty God who loves you, and you left the one who hated you. But his goal is not just to let you go on with that. He doesn't just give up because you get saved. You understand that? I'll say this the right way. All of your problems are not of Satan. Some of them are self-inflicted wounds. Amen? So don't get this idea, well, I can blame Satan for everything. No. Listen, Satan has no power over you. You are not possessed by Satan. If you're saved, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're not possessed by Satan. Okay? So he's not working from the inside out. All right? You know, this is not, what was his name? Flip Wilson, who said, the devil made me do it. The devil has no power to make you do anything. His whole way of doing things is to influence you to do the dark side rather than the light side. He can influence you. How does he do that? I'm going to just give you a little taste of it. The Bible says you're carried away by the lust of your own flesh. What's that mean, carried away? That means Satan picks you up and carries you back over to the dark side. And you continue to operate over here. Even though the light is in you, you chose to follow the darkness. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, some people are being blinded by it. Some people just don't understand it. That's why Paul was right, and he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the wiles of the enemy. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're talking about what we're talking about. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not real. If it come out of the Bible, you may not agree the way I bring it to you. But you can look in the Word of God and see if what I said isn't true or not. Then bring it to me. If you're going to say to me that Satan has no power over you, praise God for that. In reality, that's absolutely true. But in fact, I'm not sure if it's true. Why? Because I hear what you say. I see what you do. So if you're being influenced by the dark side, then you need to know. And God, and if you're all saved, if you're not saved in here, praise God. Let me put it this way. If you continually, and I don't want to break this down to sin, because it's not just about sin, it's really about the heart. I mean, you can sin in the flesh and still be right in your heart. Amen? We all do it. We all sin at times. But our love for God is still real. Our love for Jesus is still real. But that doesn't mean that we can sit there and just ignore what the Spirit of God is bringing to us about sin. So sin is just one thing. It's not the whole thing. The whole thing really is having an understanding of what it means to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? It's really what it's all about. So let's look at some of the ways Satan is able to affect us or cause us to move in a way that is not beneficial. It's not a blessing. It really is producing more of the enemy's will than God's will. And then you become affected. Now, at the moment, it doesn't seem like it happens anything wrong. But eventually, it will start to creep up and creep in. Amen? So I'd like to take you. Hallelujah. You ready? All right, number one. Hallelujah. If we have time, we'll talk about influencing the non-believer, but right now I want to stick with us. Number one, Satan will influence our fleshly desires within us through the unbelieving world around us. He has the ability to cause his, let's call them minions, his people, to move in such a way that can cause us to be affected by what we see, what we feel, what we think. Let's look at it this way. You've got a whole... I'm buying a whole new microphone, period. Amen? I'm getting a new one. I don't care what anybody...
No. Amen.
Amen. I'm tired of this one. Okay, listen. Let's get off that subject real quick. Real quick. Keep... That was the devil. That was the devil. He didn't make me do it, but boy, he sure led me that way. Because that's not my ways. My ways, love, peace, joy. But see how easy it is to be influenced by something that all of a sudden you're everything's going well, and all of a sudden something just seems to, and then somebody walks up, how you doing? Attack, attack, attack. They meant nothing but good, but you've been in a position all of a sudden. Oof. You also got influences from TV, movies, radio, advertisement out there on the streets. All of it. You're driving along. I remember one time we're down here in East Greenbush, and we're going along, driving along, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's a billboard with a half-naked woman on it. You're driving along. Your mind isn't on anything wrong. You know how easily that can pull you quickly back to that? Nobody wants to admit to those things. Come on. All of us are susceptible to something. The enemy knows you. It could be that you're driving along or walking along and everything's fine, and all of a sudden you find a bag of money with somebody's name on it. Nobody's around and you can pick it up. Don't you think there's that voice that says, take it. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. Yep. Well, it's only $1 million in there. Nobody will know. Come on. Nobody gets that idea? Where do you think that idea comes from? Where do you think those ideas come from? They don't just come. But what he does is he whispers in your ear. Go ahead. Now, if you're not influenced by sexual things, and you can see them, and they turn away, walk away, don't even... He won't affect, he won't come to you with that. If you're not affected by that money, and you say, I'm giving it back, I don't care how much it is, it could be $20 million, it goes back to the owner. And you can't be touched by that, he ain't going to bother you with that. You understand? What he does is he knows you. Every one of us. He knows every one of us. He knows what can get to you. Think about that. So if you got, you know, my wife and I, and the other day, what was it? Something silly. Something you did wrong. What was it? Sure. Now see, this, we haven't, Diane and I don't argue hardly at all. Right? I mean, we get a quick thing, real about 2 minutes, and then it stops. We don't allow it. We laugh about it. We get through it. But this came on. Diane did something, and I don't remember exactly what it was. Wasn't that the way it went? I thought that's the way it was. I don't want to say it wrong, because, go ahead. I'm easy.
You were on Skype with your father.
That, oh, now I remember what, yeah.
And your father wants you to help him drive up here.
Yes.
For the summer.
Yes.
So he wanted to leave on June 11th.
Yes.
From Florida. And I just turned to you and I said, David, we're invited to my father's funeral on the 17th of June. I'd like you to be there for me. And he turns around and he goes, stop being a martyr.
No, that's not the way.
That's exactly how
Whoa.
You did it. And
Whoa.
I turned around and I said,
all right,
shut
now,
up. And
now
was
let,
the end of it.
Let the other side of the court have its say. The district attorney had her say. Now it's the defendant's lawyer. Yes, oh, I do now. You just reminded me. No, I quit. No, it wasn't exactly that way. It was similar to that. But see, this is... It was something like that, but not exactly. Yes, but it was done in a way that was jokingly made. Now, look at this. Understand something. Sometimes what you mean, and it goes through the air, because he's the prince of the air, it gets twisted and received differently.
Don't you forget this? That's reminding me.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But it's true. And it's so easy it happens. But it took us longer. It took too long for that one. Only a day, probably. A few hours. Huh? Yes, but not with that sweetness that usually comes with it. Anyways. But what I'm saying to you, and I, you know, afterwards I thought to myself, right towards the after, I said, you should be expecting these things. You start exposing this thing for what it is, this guy, what he does. Don't be surprised when all of a sudden, when you start looking into your life and you see where you are not living the life that God intended for you, and the first thing you look at is love. If love isn't operating, then you know the enemy's at work. You understand that? Like I said before, if there's any unforgiveness, you have to know that. You know how we work. I tell you, I remember we were when I was growing up. I think it started probably in fifth grade or sixth grade, somewhere in there. There was a girl in my class that I looked at, and I've always, she was cute. You know, she was cute. And so all through school, because I went through school in elementary, in middle school, high school. She was all part of that school. I always had a crush on her. I never had the guts to go up and talk to her, but I always had a crush on her. And I would, she was part of the in crowd, and she was always dating these other guys who were part of the in crowd and all that. And I was kind of on the fringe of everything. I kind of was on the outside. Not that it wasn't my way to be whatever. And so all this time, all through life, I'm thinking to myself, now I married the most beautiful girl in the world, the best girl in the world, the most precious gift that God has ever given me outside the Holy Spirit and my salvation. She was wonderful. But I told her about this girl. I really did. I let her know, you know. Then one day, we're out. And we're someplace, and there she is. And I said, really? That's what I had my crush on? Right? I said, she's a little old lady. She's sitting over. I'm no spring chicken, but I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, then I'm looking at my wife, and I'm looking at her, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Satan will use that. Understand that. Those things that you think are good, those things you hold on to, that stuff from the past, if only this could have happened, he'll use that to draw you back into doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Then all of a sudden, one day, your eyes will be open, you'll look, and you'll say, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? He has a way of influencing things around your life. Amen? And don't be surprised when these things go on. They're real. Look in Galatians 5. Hallelujah. You know this scripture. We're going to start in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he saying? These are areas where Satan will work in your life if you allow him to influence you. Sexual immorality, idolatry, selfishness, and destructive actions. That is not of God. It's of the dark side. So how do we know whether it's Satan working in us? And again, let me tell you this. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. If you're saved, old things have passed away, all things have become new. He has given you a new heart. He's cleansed you. He's washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan does not own you. Satan does not in any way have a right to your life in any area. But he can influence you. And what he will do is remind you of things in the past that seem good and better than what you got now. All he's doing is trying to draw you back into his dark side where you came out of. How does he do that? By the things that are inside of us, things that are hidden on the inside of us, that cause us to walk in a way that is ungodly. And if we continue to do so, eventually it's going to cost us dearly. Satan does not lift you up, he tears you down. Amen? His whole goal is to stop you from being a light. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at number two, if I can find it here. Hang on. Satan attempts to deceive us with the lies of worldly wisdom through our unbelieving world around us. In James 4:7, he says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen? This is how we're going to learn to stop Satan's work. Now, what's he do? The idea is to get you... Boy, I should bring that out now, but... To get your eyes onto the worldly system and try to figure out how to have success and by worldly means. All right, I'm going to do this. I shouldn't do it. But I'm going to do it. Because on this one, it's so critical that we understand. This is what God showed me. I was going to wait, but it's kind of lengthy, and I want to get it. But I'm going to do my best, all right? I actually got up about 4:30, and I typed it all out because I didn't want to forget it. As I was laying there at 4 o'clock in the morning, God started showing me. He said, David, your life to receive from heaven, to receive out of my kingdom, is like a satellite dish. What? So he started showing me what all this was about. He took my where we are, we have a satellite dish, all the components of it, and how he said, this is how you can receive out of heaven. In other words, he's saying, listen, there's a way of doing things down here that you know, and it seems right to you, but the end is going to still be wrong. But he said, if you receive my wisdom out of heaven and do it the way I instruct you to do it, you'll have success every single time. Not sometimes, but every single time. So I'm going to share it with you only because it comes here and I just feel that God told me to do it. All right, I'm going to read it because I wrote it down. When Jesus spoke, he used farmers or fishermen for examples of his time. When he speaks to us, he may use items of examples familiar to us. I heard from, I believe, Perry Stone said that there is a teaching from Orthodox rabbis, there is a time when there is an open heaven, when it's easier to hear from God the Father. This is between 3 and 4 a.m. For the last few nights, I've woken up at 4 a.m. on the dot. Then this morning, I woke up, and God starts to explain to me how to receive from heaven. When it first begins, I'm not sure what is going on. I look at the clock. It's exactly 4 o'clock in the morning. Exactly. This is what he downloads into me. Receiving from heaven is like a satellite dish or receiver. He said the first thing you need to do is have a satellite dish. And it has to be pointed to the right direction. In our case, at our house, it has to be pointed to the south to hit the satellite. And this is important. It must be pointed up. If the dish were pointed down to the earth, we would not receive anything. Our life is a satellite dish, and what we receive will be determined how it's pointed. If we want to receive from the Lord, we need to look up. Luke 21, 25 through 28 said, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. In Psalms 121 it says, lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we want a clear picture, remember what I always told you, if you can see it, you'll receive it. If you want a clear picture, remember Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. I only speak what I hear my Father in heaven speaking. So if you want a good picture, good clear picture and good sound, we need to have our satellite dish or our lives focused above. Looking up. The next thing he said to me, you need a receiver. A while back, I called up Dish and said, we need new remotes. They looked up our accounts and said, you don't need new remotes. You need a new dish, a new receiver, and new remotes. If you don't have these, you will not be receiving a clear signal. I only knew what I could see to be my need. The company knew that I had the company knew that I needed much more. Do you know that God knows what you need? What you think you need is only what is seen on the surface. God the Father sees and knows what we can't or don't want to see or know. He doesn't just put a Band-Aid on the wound. He wants to deal with what caused the wound in the first place so we stay out of those type of situations. So what is our receiver? I asked God that. He said, your receiver is your willing and obedient heart. On Wednesday night, we saw that in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That word desire means to burn with zeal. Our receiver must burn hot for God. It must desire to receive from God the best signal possible. And then he said, you need a clear signal. You can have a satellite dish and a receiver, but if there is no signal being transmitted from the satellite itself, then nothing happens. But the good news is there is a satellite and the signal is being broadcast strong and clear. So what is the signal? It is the Holy Spirit. And he has been sent And he is bringing a perfect picture of God's will. In John 16, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, that signal is coming from heaven, hitting our dish, bringing it down into the receiver. So I put my life, I look up, I ask, and he sends a clear picture of God's will. And my heart receives it. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to you a perfect sound and picture straight from our Lord and Savior concerning your seeking, asking, and knocking. The only thing that can interfere with the signal coming in strong and clear is a storm between the dish and the satellite. There was a time when we lost our signal and we had a clear day. I called up the company and I said, where's our signal? They told me that we had a weather-related disruption. In other words, there was a storm between the satellite and our dish, so we could not receive a good signal. I said that I could not see the storm. I'm sitting there. I said, there's no storm here. Clear sky. But he said this. They said, I said that I could not see the storm that was interfering with our signal. They said, what I didn't. The storm was out of my sight, but nonetheless, it was there. There are times when the storms of life interfere with the signal from heaven. It isn't that the signal isn't broadcasting, but we just aren't receiving. So what do we do? The same thing that we had to do. Wait and be patient. Have faith that this storm will pass. I'll be restored with a clear signal, and the picture and sound coming out of heaven will be restored to my receiver. Sometimes, though there are demonic interference, remember the story of Daniel. In Daniel 10, he said to me, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. In other words, one of Satan's emissaries. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Don't allow the enemy to discourage you. Fight the good fight. Don't give in. Don't quit until you have the answer from on high. When he said, ask and you shall receive, he is not lying. Jeremiah 1:12 said, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. God is ready and willing to perform his word. And so the last thing he showed me was a remote. I asked the Lord, what is the remote? He told me, the remote was the word of God or the Bible. The remote will take me to the exact location that will satisfy my desire. The channel is the exact book, chapter and verse that makes clear the picture that God is bringing me. Matthew 4:4, he said, but he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God talks to us if we listen. He brought it so understanding to me, very clear. We all, our lives are like satellite dishes. We're called to receive the picture and the sound right out of heaven. When it comes down, and there's times when there's storms of life, there's times when in our own whatever, the enemy comes in and starts disturbing our peace. He starts removing those things that we're looking to and believing God for, and then all of a sudden the signal gets distorted and we start believing maybe God doesn't care, maybe he's not there, maybe there's something going wrong. But know this, God is always there. He is always there. But don't be deceived. There's always an enemy who wants to hack into that signal and distort it. He wants to get up there and try in some way to, you know, you're standing and believing God for a miracle, and some good Christian comes along and says, well, you know, God may not do that. You just have to be ready for something else. No. I love you, but thanks anyways. I was going through we just got over, remember the battle we had with sickness? And you guys, I mean, a lot of people are going through it. So the last few days, last 2 days, I think, my eyes are watering, my nose is running. And I'm going, oh, man. And I thought about it. I said, no, that's not sickness, it's an allergy. We're in a time when it was so warm, all that stuff, the pollen, everything started up. And so I'm going, what am I going to do with this now? I'm going through boxes of Kleenex. And my eyes are watering. It looks like I'm crying all the time. Finally, God got through. That signal from heaven got through. And he said to me, Dave. He calls me Dave. I let him. Hey, Dave, don't you know that's from the curse of the law and you're not under that curse anymore? Yes, sir. What are you going to do about it? You're right. That is part of the curse. Father, I believe right now that allergy that's trying to affect my body is under the curse and I don't receive that any longer. I speak to that curse thing and I say, you have no power over me. Get out. You think it left right away? No. But every time that starts up, I just say, no, I don't receive it. You're under the curse of the law. I'm not under that anymore. That part of the curse of the law. Sickness, disease, poverty, death, destruction, it's all under the curse, and I'm not under that anymore. So I just speak to it. So the devil is speaking to me on this side. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. Nah, you tried that before. It doesn't work. Uh-uh. I'm not under that curse anymore. You watch. You watch. It will leave. It may not leave just, but it leaves. I'll stand before you one day and I'll say, it's gone. I'll never have it again. When you stand up against the truth, with the truth, listen to me. When you stand up with the truth, facts change. Facts is, there's allergy. Truth is, I've been redeemed from it. When you stand up for the truth, facts change in your life. What the devil wants you to believe is that facts are eternal. Mm-mm. Truth is eternal. Amen? So don't let the enemy use the wisdom of this world to confound you and change where you are and the direction you're going. Amen? Hallelujah, because he will. And trust me, stop and pray. When you got something you're doing, something you want to know the truth about, stop and pray until you get a signal from heaven what to do. Don't be in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, that means Satan's pushing you. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. If you think if you're being pushed and forced into something, that is not God. It's when you walk into it with a peace that passes understanding, and you know that you know God has given you wisdom on how to do this thing that you've been asked to do, then watch what happens. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't let him. Remember, he's a liar. Don't let him lie to you. The other thing he does, he attempts to deceive us with false Jesus and false gospel. Hallelujah. Paul warned him and said, if anything other than what I preach to you comes to you, don't receive it. Today, in today's atmosphere, they're trying to bring Jesus into other places and say, this is the Jesus that you serve. You remember when they came out of Egypt? Moses went up on the mountain. And he said, okay, where's the God? Where's Moses? They thought he was gone. He thought that God had taken them. They were done. All right, So what did they do? They got around a bonfire, started a fire up, and it said, I'm going to show you who brought you out of Egypt. And they brought another god forward. It was called the golden calf. Listen to me. There are things out there being said today. We have what they call Chrislam. In other words, they're trying to take the Jesus of Christ of the cross and Jesus of the Islamic faith and mix them together and say they're all the same God. They are not. They are not. Don't be deceived. People will come alongside of you and they'll bring a fake Christ to you, one who's a... I'm not going to go through all the different religions. It's not important. The important part is that you know who your God is. You know the God that you serve. You know the Jesus Christ that saved you. Don't receive anything else. You have the Spirit of God in you. You know the truth. Don't let them deceive you. Don't be deceived. Someone called or said something the other day. I was listening to a program. Well, I'm reading this book. I want to know what it's all about. You got the Spirit of God in you. You should know whether that book is telling you the truth or not. So don't be deceived. Don't let anybody bring anything else. Don't think that you're saved by your works. You're not. God is not pleased by your efforts to be a better person. He's pleased by your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross at Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. Your faith in that, which is bringing about the transformation into the image of his son. Your works are good, yes. Praise God. Do good works and glorify God with them. But don't let them to be the criteria by which someone says to you, oh, God loves me because I do this. Because the day that you can't do that anymore, what happens to that love? When something changes in your life, then all of a sudden you base your whole faith, your whole love walk with Christ on these things. And you go, all of a sudden you're not doing them anymore. Where are you now? God loves you because of who you are. He chose you. Don't let any other gospel come into your field of vision, because the enemy will try to cause you to think that you are not saved because you're not a good person, you didn't do this. And let me put it this way too. If you've fallen, if you've failed, if you've sinned, if you've done things you shouldn't do and you know it, and you truly repented of it, let it go. Don't let the enemy keep coming in and bombarding you with those thoughts. God loves you just like he loved you before. He loves you the same now. He is not going to change because you stopped doing something. And he's not going to change because you're doing something. He loves you. Period. And anybody who brings any other gospel to you, we told you that story before. We had a guy up here who was ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said to one person, well, you can't be baptized because you smoke. That was a lie. If I knew that, I would have told him, that's a lie. I don't think smoking's good because I think it's a bad habit. Been there, done that. 3 packs a day I used to smoke. It's not good for your health. And if I had to smoke 3 packs a day now with the cost of them, it would be killing me. It's not worth it. Amen. Eat a banana instead. Oh, really? It's not worth it. It's not that you're a bad person. It's just not worth it. But God doesn't look at you any differently because you do. Or you have a beer once in a while. Do I agree with it? No, I can't stand the smell of it. But God delivered me out of that. I don't need it. Praise God for it. Because I don't spend my money on that either. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, all those things are a waste of time and effort. But if you're going to do them, God doesn't love you less. If it affects your life and causes you to get into situations, if it brings sickness into your body, or you get too much drinking, get out there and kill somebody with your car, you pay the price for it. Does God love you less? No, he still loves you. Amen? And it doesn't mean you're not saved either. You'll just be like Paul and be in prison until he comes. Right? I had somebody one time when we were in North Carolina, and I was saying that, and I was saying, you know, drinking isn't going to send you to hell. And a woman came up to me afterward and was mad at me. Her daughter was there for the first time, and she was an alcoholic. So after the service, she went to her mother. See? Pastor said I can drink. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But they, what they wanted to hear, why? Because that was what was inside them. You know, I can stay here and say that if you do this or that, God, you're not going to hell. You're not going to, you know, it's your lack of faith and trust in Christ and what he did at Calvary that is causing you to go to hell. If you don't believe that, you don't have faith in that, and you're not putting your trust in that, the chances are you could be heading in that direction. But if I can talk to you about all the sin that you want to talk about and say, well, if you sin, like let's say this, somebody said, well, what if you sinned just before you died, or you lied just before you died? Are you going to hell? No. But that doesn't give you I'm not giving you permission to go out and lie. You know, the Word of God tells us liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what I see? Liars, if you look in the scriptures, liars are the ones who said that Jesus Christ isn't who he is, the Messiah. That's who the Bible calls a liar. Well, what if I lied about I ate that cookie and I didn't eat the cookie or whatever? That's not enough to send somebody to hell. If you continue to lie, eventually you'll lie about Jesus. The natural inclination is to fall back into the flesh and fall back into the old nature of living. That's our greatest battle of all. And that's what Satan uses. Satan uses those old things that are inside of us that we've desired secretly in our heart, or God has helped us to deliver us out of those things, or whatever it is. Those things that we want, that's what he grabs a hold of. And that's what he uses. And his goal is to finally get you back into his camp and away from the God camp. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Just remember, we're fighting an enemy that's been beaten by Jesus. And that enemy is the one who's trying to draw us back into his army. Number four, Satan can physically afflict us or ones that we love with illness, crimes, disasters, persecution, and the like. Jesus in his ministry dealt many times with demonic forces in people's lives who were physically causing them to physically be sick. Blind eyes, deaf ears, people, little boys thrown into fires. Smith Wigglesworth, in his ministry, he believed that every sickness and disease came from the demonic world. Almost entirely, he fought it by casting out demons of sickness and disease. Cancer, he believed 100%, was all demonic. He rose something like 28 people from the dead. He knew that death was defeated by Jesus. Those who are believers won't die. You just pass from this life to the next. It's not death. Death is separation from God. True death is separation from God. We won't die. You don't have to be afraid of death. He took the fear of death away. That was what caused everybody to have problems in life. He removed it. But Satan still has the ability to use sickness and disease. Look at Job. Now, he couldn't approach Job with that stuff until he had permission from God. Well, would God going to give him permission to come after me? Need to? I don't think so. I don't think so. You don't have to be fearful of that. Jesus Christ of Nazareth dealt with that sickness and disease at the cross at Calvary. He took upon himself all our sicknesses and all our diseases. But it doesn't mean that the enemy still can't use those things to attack us. I remember when I came back from Texas, I felt good. Diane had started to get sick. I've always prayed when I got into the airplanes, Father, I pray, Lord, let your angels lift up the wings of this airplane, give us a safe journey on the flight there, a safe landing. Always pray that every time I get in an airplane. I don't do it out loud because I don't panic start inside of the airplane. But as I came back, I realized something. I caught something in the airplane. And now I've learned, okay, Lord, from now on, when I get on that airplane, I can do one of two things. I can wear a mask, or I can pray and ask God's protection about me, that whatever that sickness and disease that might be airborne on that airplane will not affect this body. Do you think that'll work? I do. We have to understand that there are forces of evil working against us. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. God has given you the weapons necessary to defeat the works of the enemy. You never have to be subject to these things. You do not have to live under a slave mentality of being afraid of what he's doing. When you realize who you are and who Christ is in you, when the devil tried to come against him, what did Jesus do? Stood up and said, "It is written." When he comes against you, what do? Stand up and say, "God, it is written. I don't receive." Just because I'm 70 years old now, praise God, I'm not going to get weaker, because he renews my youth as an eagle's. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get healthier. Why? Because I'm starting to learn and to walk in the wisdom that God has given to me, not just in the wisdom of this worldly sense of down here. I don't care how many years I've been on this earth. God's wisdom is far greater than anything I'll ever know. So know this, you're in a battle, but greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You're not possessed by the devil, but you certainly can be oppressed by him. He has ways to get to you. It's going to be the greatest power he has over you is what your old nature used to be, that he can affect that again and draw you to him. If that's you, repent. Start recognize it. Deal with it. That simple. Next week, though, we're going to talk about how to fight these things and have victory over them. Don't let the enemy in any way curse you into believing that you have to be this way, and this way it's always going to be. Don't ever let him cause you to believe that you can't come up out of where you're at into a greater place in life. That's what God wants for you. As I said to you before, God wants you to be victorious. And you can be when you stop letting the enemy deceive you into believing that you're less than who you are. Amen? Listen, let me say this to you. Don't let what other people say about you cause you to believe what they've got to say, unless they're talking from the Word of God. You understand that? Because when you listen to those voices, you must understand they're not talking from the kingdom of God. They're talking from the kingdom of darkness. And do not allow darkness to override the light that's in you. Every time they stand up and say something bad about you, you stand up and say two good things about you. What God says about you. Not only does it negate the one, but you're one up on them. Amen? I'm serious about this, because this is the thing that you're going on, man. Now, if you're really doing those things that they said, say, "Father, forgive me. I did do those things. They're right. But now this is who I am. That's what I did. This is who I am now." Amen? Don't, if it's true, you can't lie, because the devil will bring half-truth to you. You can't deny it. But he always, God always gives us the word to bring us out of it. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, as we continue to look into the Word of God concerning our walk with you and our, hallelujah, the battle over the enemy and his influence in our life. We thank you, Father, we are called the children of the living God. Jesus dealt our enemy of our soul a lasting defeat. He disarmed him. He took all his power from him. And we're not going to let him have power over us. So we thank you, Lord, you continue to reveal to us the truth of your word, the truth of the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of your love for us. We praise you and give you glory. Amen and amen.